Hello and welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and the founder of Brighteon.tv. And today we are continuing in this broadcast. This is going to continue for several weeks here, actually. I am bringing you what's going to become an audiobook called Resilient Prepping. And I am, in essence, presenting all of this information here in each daily episode. It's going to take several weeks to go through all of this. It will eventually be turned into a downloadable free audiobook at the website resilientprepping.com, which is not yet available. But you can currently download three other audiobooks that I've done, and they also have downloadable printable transcripts, a PDF file for the hearing impaired. So you can get those at audiobooks.naturalnews.com. There are three books available there right now, and I'll be right back to continue with this book today. Thanks for watching. Okay, welcome back. Mike Adams here. I've got a clock over here on the side I have to pay attention to on these broadcast time shows. So in the last episode, yesterday, we went into what is resilient prepping, why is it important? And just to summarize what we've covered so far, it's because the governments of the world they're trying to carry out an extinction level event. They are trying to mass murder humanity and achieve global depopulation. So our preparedness plans, which before all of this, we may have focused on, you know, a hurricane, a volcano, perhaps a solar flare, perhaps, you know, a nuclear war or something. Now we have to focus on how do we prepare ourselves against the engineered takedown of society that's being carried out deliberately by some wicked, just malicious actors in terms of these governments and globalists that are trying to destroy the world and eliminate humanity. So now this requires a completely different strategy. And the strategy that I'm presenting in this book is how we go from high-tech preparedness to low-tech preparedness and then no-tech preparedness. And that you need to have a solution available in each of those areas. And let me just give an example of what that would be. So, for example, okay. Perimeter security. If you're looking at perimeter security for your house or your building or your ranch or what have you, a high-tech solution would be thermal, night vision, motion sensors, things that require electricity, things that require batteries probably. A low-tech solution would be, let's say, a mechanical tripwire alert system. If someone hits a tripwire, it might set off maybe a shotgun shell or I don't know, it might shake some cans or something. You might have just some kind of a noisemaker. And then a no-tech solution is to have guard dogs. So to be prepared for what's coming, you need to have all layers of preparedness in place. And we're going to cover a lot of different areas, not just security, but food and water and shelter, and also security, communications, trade and barter, all these areas. So in the last section, we talked about how when you are resilient and you're fully prepared in this new way, then you can also resist being controlled by the governments that want to round you up and throw you into their death camps, their COVID death camps. And if you didn't realize that was happening, just read the news about Australia or New Zealand or what's coming to America, certain parts of California. If you don't have a vaccine passport, they're going to round you up and they're going to throw you into a death camp and eventually exterminate you. That's part of the plan. And the plan is already, you know, unfolding in New South Wales. All right, so continuing from that then, this is still chapter one. We're continuing. Why resilient prepping? The next answer that we need to cover is that too many preps that people have relied on so far have focused on single solutions. So, for example, for perimeter security, too many preps have focused on just, well, have night vision or have thermal vision. And yeah, those work great as long as you have electricity and you can recharge the batteries and eventually you're going to need spare parts because eventually everything that's electronic breaks. So what happens when it breaks? What happens when you have the total collapse of society? You know, how long does your night vision function? I mean, it's great for the first 6 months or a year. It can be life-saving. And I recommend that you have night vision, by the way. But after that stops working, then what do you do? So for example, with firearms, you might have an amazing long-range rifle. Maybe you have Remington 700 or something. And you've got thousands of rounds for it. That's great. What happens when the thousands of rounds run out? Because you've had to, you know, defend yourself against multiple waves of approaching zombies. And so what do you do at that point? Well, what's a lower tech solution than firearms? And the answer is bows and crossbows, because arrows can be made with low tech approaches. You don't need brass and primers and gunpowder as you need with firearms. So a low tech solution is a bow or a crossbow. And then a no tech solution is a sword or a machete or a knife or something like that. That's almost no tech. I guess truly no tech would just be, you know, your fists. It does take technology to make swords, but edge weapons don't need ammo. And so they will be the things that last through this extinction level event, even when the ammo runs out. It's going to be an interesting timetable here, because I think chapter 3 is the timetable. Yeah, we're going to talk about the timeline of collapse, because there's only going to be a period of time where firearms are really functional because of the ammo and the spare parts. So if you can make it past the first year, you're not going to see nearly as many firearms brought against you because of those reasons. And things are going to shift quite rapidly as the supply lines just totally collapse. So anyway, we'll get to that later. Another vulnerability with modern prepping is that too many of the prepping plans that you might see or you may have heard discussed rely on electricity or the internet. So there's a very strong reliance on electricity for everything, obviously. I mean, we're a modern society. Well, maybe not so much anymore. Things are collapsing into a third world status, but we still tend to have electricity in most areas. And because of that electricity, our prepping supplies, let's say a rifle scope, you know, it recharges from the power grid. Or you have an LED flashlight and it recharges from the power grid. Or you have radios for communications. And again, how do you charge them? And you plug it into the wall, the power grid works. And this is all great as long as the power grid works, but it won't in many areas. We'll have grid down outages. Now, what's interesting is some regions, see, I think we're headed for a scenario where states like Texas will declare their own sovereignty pretty quickly. And we're going to have probably a financial collapse. We're going to have a collapse of Washington, D.C., the collapse of the federal government. But in the absence of that, you'll have many areas like Texas and perhaps Oklahoma and Arkansas and Louisiana and so on forming a new regional nation, like a nation state. Now, Texas has its own power grid, so it's possible that the Texas power grid could come back up faster than other power grids, because they would have to segment their grids in order to keep a small area online without the rest of it just, you know, taking it down. So there may be electricity restored in certain areas, especially if they have access to coal and the coal-fired power plants. But I would not count on electricity, and that's why our preparedness plans need to make sure that we can survive without any electricity. So that means no municipal water supply, because that's powered by pumps, obviously. It also means no transactional capabilities. So the banks won't work, transactions, you know, credit cards, none of that, food stamps, it won't work. Because without electricity, none of that works, obviously. Cryptocurrencies do not work without electricity for all the obvious reasons. So we need to have a no-tech solution, and that's what this book is presenting. At the end of this book, we're going to get into all that, the high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech solutions. So that's the end of chapter one right there, why this is important. And I hope it makes perfect sense. This is not your typical preparedness. We're not preparing for natural disasters. We're not preparing for a three-day weekend without grocery stores open. You know, we're not preparing for an ice storm or even a hurricane. We're preparing for the engineered collapse of society, and yet recognizing that we can survive it, that we must survive it. We have an obligation to survive. And by the way, one of the the overall messages that I hope to impart here is one of optimism. So as much as I talk about the engineered collapse, you know, extinction level event, depopulation, the war against humanity, all these things, which are true, I also believe that we, through knowledge and awareness, creativity, consciousness, free will, we can survive. Many won't survive. We're going to be surrounded by suffering and death. There's no question about that. But with the right information, we can make it through, and then we can rebuild society. So, chapter two. Now we're going to talk about the structure of societal collapse. What is it going to look like? What does this mean for us and being able to cover our basic needs, such as food and shelter, you know, basic medicine, and so on? So first, let's look at all the different vectors of collapse that are in play right now and some other things that might be added to it. So you know, of course, the COVID scamdemic is one vector of collapse, and through that, they're collapsing the human resources supply to society. In other words, lockdowns, taking away the human contribution to everything. Truck drivers, you know, grocery deliveries, manufacturing, everything, even telecommunications, it's run by people. And as these people are forced to be locked down and to stay home and to not work in society, and in some cases they're being paid to stay home, then society begins to break down. That's an engineered collapse, and that's been very effective from the point of view of the globalists so far. The spike protein biological weapon is another thing, and that's going to cause mass death. It's already killed an estimated 500,000 Americans so far, and it's killed millions around the world so far. A lot more deaths are coming. Many millions, probably tens of millions globally just in the next year or so, and over the next 3 years, it could be tens of millions dead in the United States. But it is a depopulation weapon. It is designed to destroy human tissue. It is a very dangerous molecule that was weaponized by the United States military and the Chinese Communist military working together with funding from Fauci and the NIH. That collapse will be, well, and they're pushing booster shots. So they're going to try to make sure they can continue to kill people for as long as people go along with this. So you can expect mass casualties, you know, month after month, year after year, if we even make it that far. They're going to just keep injecting people until everyone's dead or is rising up and resisting this. But there are other forms of collapse that are also being engineered. So there's an engineered food collapse to create shortages, and it's going to get way worse this winter throughout North America. There's also, well, the collapse of farming. The Biden regime continues to pay farmers to not grow food. So that's an engineered element of scarcity that's being put in place. There's an engineered financial collapse that's also being put in place. Right now, the Federal Reserve money printing is propping up the stock market and propping up the liquidity, you know, through more quantitative easing, just to keep things functioning. The minute that that money printing stops, the dollar collapses, and the banking system collapses with it, and the entire transactional backbone of our society therefore collapses at the same time. And that's coming. That day is coming, whether they want it to or not. In addition to this, there remain risks of EMP weapons, especially launched by China or North Korea, possible solar flares or space weather events, such as meteors that might be already on track to impact the United States, but our governments aren't telling us about that. In fact, I've had a theory that for a long time here, well, the last year or so, that the world governments are acting as if there is an approaching meteor that's going to hit the planet, and they're trying to mass murder as many humans as possible before that happens, because they know they can't control people once it's announced that this thing is close. And amateur astronomers would be able to see it even when it's about 30 days out or so, and there would be 30 days of complete chaos that nobody could control. So at least in theory, I'm not saying that we don't have proof that this is the case, but in theory, it looks like globalists are anticipating an extinction-level event, and they're trying to exterminate humanity as rapidly as possible before that event takes place. So lots of theories about what that is, things that could happen. You know, maybe massive volcanoes, maybe an earth shift, maybe Planet X, maybe aliens land on the White House lawn. Who knows? But there's all kinds of, you know, possible scenarios that could be imminent, that could be well known by certain people at high levels, you know, even at the Vatican, especially, right? They've got telescopes and they're talking to Satan too. So, you know, who knows? Maybe the Vatican's got, you know, an early word of some demonic attack of some kind. I mean, there all kinds of possibilities exist. We don't know what's going to take place. We don't know which of those possibilities is real. And that's why we prepare for every possibility. We prepare at multiple levels. That's what this is all about. All right. Next point here in chapter two is that it is now obvious that systems are collapsing. And this is why so many people are freaking out right now. People who, for a long time, they were able to dismiss preparedness as, you know, a bunch of, you know, kooks and paranoid people and so on. And then now these people go to the grocery store and they see shelves are empty and they can't get the parts that they need for their car, or they can't buy an appliance that they need for their home. Everything's out of supply. They're starting to wake up to this and they're starting to flip out because they're seeing this real. That it's not just a bunch of talk. It's not just theory. So it's going to get so much worse in terms of all the supply lines. And I think a lot of this is engineered, where China would shut down one of its largest ports, for example, by saying one person got COVID. You know, obviously that's just a cover story. What they're trying to do is engineer supply shortages in the United States because they want to really hurt America in the months ahead. Even though their plan ultimately is to take over America. They want to kill the people, but take over the natural resources of North America. And they've already got, you know, Justin Trudeau in Canada. Okay. I mentioned this briefly, but I want to emphasize that financial collapse, which is also coming, means a total loss of transactional capabilities using anything that relies on the current financial system. So if you think you'll be able to go to the ATM and take out cash, the ATM won't function because it has to have a comms line with the bank server that checks your account balance to make sure you've got money to take out. ATMs won't function, banks won't function, credit cards won't function, food stamps won't function. And with that, I mean, clearing checks won't even work. So the question becomes, how does, let's say, a coal-fired power plant located near you, how does it purchase coal when the coal has to be bought from a coal mining operation that has to get paid? And then the coal has to be transported by train, typically. And then the railroad company has to get paid. And the railroad company has employees that keep the trains running, and then they have to get paid. But transactions don't function, so no one can get paid. So how do you transport coal? How do you keep the power stations running? What do you do? Grab a giant wheelbarrow full of silver coins and run down to the coal mining operation? Here, we'll pay you in silver for your coal. And then you try to line that up with the railroad company, but the employees have already gone home because they can't get paid. Everything's collapsing. And how does a railroad company function when there's no electricity in its own offices? So they've lost all their comms with the status of the rails and the trains and the track switching equipment. It's all offline. You see what I mean? So the question becomes, how does any of this function? And at some point, it doesn't. It doesn't function. And that's why, beyond a certain tipping point, you very rapidly collapse to about, you know, an 18th century existence, or you might say maybe an early 19th century existence. But things can collapse very rapidly, and you can lose the very backbone of modern society. Okay, you won't be able to get spare parts for complex items, because part of this collapse is the collapse of the supply lines. So think about, how are tires made for your car? What about hydraulic lines for construction equipment? You know, the bulldozers and the excavators and the track loaders and all these things that they build buildings. What about the concrete trucks? Well, they need tires, they need spare parts, they need fuel. All these vehicles need gaskets and O-rings, and they need sensors, and they have electronic boards in them, virtually all of them. So all those things will stop being available as the supply lines crater, which means it won't take long before everything breaks down. You won't be able to get parts, you won't be able to get vehicles, you won't be able to get anybody to show up and do any work for you because they don't have anything that works. And then you have this cascading rapid collapse to, you know, an extinction level scenario. It can happen right away. So without electricity, of course, you know, you're not going to have even computers, but there won't be power either. So, you know, you're not going to have fossil fuels running power plants. You're not going to have electricity. You're not going to have a power grid. So you're not going to have any centralized power that's delivering power to you. The only power you're going to have is power that you create and harness locally. So if you're lucky enough to live next to a year-round stream and you can build in a water wheel or something, then you can have, you know, a water wheel, although it might be hard to find anybody who knows how to build one. If you have a water wheel, you could run belts on that and you could have a lathe, or you could grind wheat berries into flour, you know, like the windmills. That's why they're called windmills, because they were milling grains, right? But if you have just wind turbines, and by the way, it always annoys me when people call wind turbines windmills, because they're not mills. Wind turbines generate electricity, but wind turbines have complex electronics. And then they have to deliver over long supply lines to an electrical substation, which then usually delivers it, you know, to a power grid company that then distributes it through all the power lines. And none of that's going to work. So if you have a wind turbine locally that can charge batteries or charge up a solar generator, yeah, that can work if you've got wind. Or if you have solar panels that can charge a solar generator, sure, that can work. Or if you've got animals that can pull a plow, then you can plow your field and maybe grow potatoes. But do you have the harnesses and all the gear for those animals? Have the animals ever done that before? How are you going to train them? If your animals are like my donkeys, they will say, no way, we're not working. We've never worked. They're just welfare donkeys. I feed them and they just complain. I mean, that's how these animals are these days. They're Democrats. But how do you transition to an animal-based farming system if the skills of animal husbandry are lost and the animals themselves hardly exist? And who can make a plow? Anyway, without electricity, how do you make a plow? Just using a wood-fired steel forge, for example. How many blacksmiths are there? And how many blacksmiths have taken the vaccine and will be dead? Right? These are all very important questions as we look at the potential for us to survive. So just count on no power, no power grid, no fossil fuels. That's the scenario we're looking for. Now, this is basically the end of chapter 2. We'll get into chapter 3 tomorrow here on this broadcast on Brighteon.tv. And this is part of the book, Resilient Prepping. Of course, I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I hope you've learned something today, that we've got a lot more coming. This is all being transcribed into a free downloadable printable PDF file and also downloadable audio MP3 files in the weeks ahead. But thank you for listening today, and we'll have more for you tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Stay tuned for the next show here on Brighteon.tv.